Some of you were at family camp and you're thinking, oh no, doesn't he remember we were there and we've heard this? Rest. These are messages that the Lord has just given me and exercising my heart recently, so these will not be repeats. They may sound a little familiar, but they're not repeat messages. I've been tremendously burdened in the fact that in my own walk with the Lord, I sense a real lack in understanding the thorough work of the Holy Spirit and how He functions day in and day out in our lives. And I've just been asking the Lord, is this something you want me to share with others? Would others benefit from this? And there's always a host of other things that I wonder if the Lord is leading, but this seems to be the area that He keeps dealing in my heart to share. So I would like to speak on the subject of grieving the Holy Spirit. I hope by the time we're done with this, you won't come away and say, oh, that was I can't measure up to that kind of message. In other words, you feel like, oh, there's another thing I'm doing that's just, oh, how can I ever come up to the bar of the expectation or the level of the expectation of what God wants for me? And I think when we're done, I hope and pray that we'll understand the true heart of our Father, His character, His absolute commitment to each of us as individuals, and what it really means when the Holy Spirit is grieved. And I hope there will be a deeper appreciation in all of our hearts for the work that is going on right now, and sometimes we are so unaware of what the Holy Spirit is doing. I might also add, this is not a desire to preempt or to replace the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not to emphasize one person in the Godhead out of his due place. This is just simply an effort to remind us of the extravagant, abundant thinking God has towards us. It's rich. It's literally inexhaustible. And it is within that framework that I'd like to just consider a few of these thoughts about the Holy Spirit. So that we might just put it in our eyes and let our eyes take it to our soul and our spirit. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's begin reading at verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. But let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Our Father, we know that our minds look at this passage and we say, I've heard this, I know it. We're appealing to you this morning that you might add to us some understanding about your character as it relates to the way you deal with us, even in times when we're weak, and as this passage instructs us to be careful of that we not grieve the Holy Spirit. We ask for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and that our estimation of Christ today would rise by your strength. You would raise him up in our thinking to a higher place, so that when we leave here, Father, we'll think more of Christ than we did when we came here. That he would receive affection from our lives. We would understand the reality with which you are working with us. And we might know you have not forgotten us and have not left us without hope and constant instruction and encouragement. Again, in the name of your dear Son, we ask these things. Amen. Now, let me just start in the obvious. I'm going to approach it from a terribly subjective point of view. I ask in advance that you bear with me in this. But I always ask the question, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to just take a little bit of a liberty here to say, I think as humans, we have a little trouble understanding that term, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Our concept of what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit of God probably comes from our understanding of what it means to grieve somebody. How we feel when we're grieved. And if we're going to be correct in our thoughts about how we respond when we are grieved, we will probably, somewhere along the line, come to the conclusion that part of our grieving really is a very deep sense of disappointment. And if we're grieved, generally speaking, the kind of human grieving is a selfish sense of grieving. Now, it isn't to say there isn't proper grieving among humans, and that you and I have not experienced healthy grieving. But I'm saying that too often our framework of thinking about grieving is formulated in the incorrect process of grieving that we as humans can do in a sinful way. For instance, I could say, and you might say, if someone has been especially kind to us and they die, we grieve their loss in our lives. Sometimes the grieving, if honest, is to say, uh-oh, that kindness will be shut off from my life. I'm grieving over the loss of that kindness. I do not believe that in the overall scheme of things that that is not something that shouldn't touch us, but we should watch the fine line between did I put more value on what I was receiving than I did on the person who gave it. See, those are the tricky areas of the human spirit that we have to be honest with, that sometimes we're not pure in our grieving. It's a personal loss to us. And there's a healthy sense in which when someone goes or we're removed from something healthy or we see something very difficult happen and it touches our lives, we're grieved by it. The healthy sense of grieving would be in this light, that we see something going on in somebody else's life and the pain that they are going through touches us. Why? Because we love them, and the pain that we see them suffering, we wish they would not suffer. This would be more in line with the aspect of a healthy sense of grieving. So you can see the two analogies between grieving. Grieving on the one hand for my own sense of discomfort, or grieving in the sense that there is truly a loss in somebody else's life and that loss in their life grieves me. And if there's a healthy response to grieving, the right kind of response to grieving, there is this compelling drive within our spirits to want to move toward being a solution to the grief that is in that somebody else's life. And sometimes we'll confuse grieving with anger. And we'll confuse our grieving and our anger with a sense of hatred and a sense of contempt and a sense of revenge and a sense of retribution. And these are all in their right place, in a holy sense. These are all spin-offs of the characteristics of a divine, holy, just God. For instance, when God, and it's said of God that He is angry with the wicked every day, it isn't to say that God is beyond loving the wicked every day. It doesn't mean that God is not compassionate for the needs of the wicked every day. But God is making a statement as one that is holy and just, and He is saying they have taken up a position of being an enemy of mine. They are my enemies. They have set themselves against me. And I am not pleased by it. And He has a right to express that displeasure, and He does so without sinning. He doesn't lose His cool. He doesn't bring about sort of an intimidating rod and slams it down, and everybody quivers and quakes and falls all over the highway of life, and they grovel back to their little pits and say, "I can't even look." Although there is an aspect that is just and right among His creation in the sense that they should fear Him. But it is a holy, reverential, awe-inspiring fear that says He is holy and I will not challenge His holiness. I will not attack His holiness. I will not impugn the character of God in my thought processes. I will lift Him up and understand that He is above reproach. He is above being called down and being called into question, although sometimes we don't understand that our actions, we do that. He is long-suffering with us. But in the sense of being grieved and looking at the process of grieving and understanding the aspect of the grieving and the nature of the heart of God, it is always with the view that God has created His creation in the realm of being able to say that on the sixth day, everything was done, and on the seventh day, He rested in the good of His creation. You and I were created for good. This is not power of positive thinking. This is not psychology, happy, buzz yourself into a pleasant state of nirvana, 101.3b. This is the divine will, the expressed will of God that mankind enjoy the goodness of God. But this fundamental disagreement about how this goodness will be pursued is the point in which humanity has taken a detour, a very deliberate detour, and I do not believe the bumper sticker that I saw coming into this town the other day, which said, "Eve was framed." Eve was deceived. Adam went into it with his eyes wide open. When we consider the subject of the grieving of the heart of God, and we think of it with respect to the Holy Spirit, I'd like to approach another aspect of the grieving of the Holy Spirit that sometimes is misunderstood, and that we tend to associate grieving as a weakness. Oh, see now, that's a touchy subject. Don't go near that one there, dear soul, because you're treading on sacred territory, and none of us want to touch the idea that God is weak, should we? Well, the premise of God being weak is flawed. And that is fundamentally not a sound foundation on which to understand the grieving nature of the Holy Spirit with respect to sin in the life of a child of God. But as you see this, you see it with respect to His disposition to the whole of the human race. Some think that if you imply God is grieved over sin, then you are implying God has a weakness in His emotional structure. That He's sort of lost it. You know, there's this sort of this, God is out of control with the waywardness of the human race, and it just grieves Him. So He's up in heaven right now, just boo-hooing His eyeballs out. May I stop for a moment and simply say this without disrespect? God is the happiest person in the universe today. And if you don't believe me, read Hebrews chapter 1, when it says He has anointed His Son with the oil of gladness above all His hosts. You say, I don't understand that. We're not called to understand the technicalities of the infinite God that has presented Himself to the whole of humanity. Any more than I can explain to you how I see you this morning. And how that in my eyes, I'm told right now that I receive you as an image, but that image is upside down. And then gets converted right side up somewhere between here and there. And that you are in full living color. I can distinguish people who are saying, hurry up, John, as to those who are saying, you sure got me fooled. What are you talking about today? Or he might be onto something maybe. Or I'll put up with him a little bit longer. I see all this. Now, how does all that happen? Explain it to me how you see. Well, I see. This is the microphone. See? I see this. Explain it to me. Well, I can give you the technical definitions, the medical reasons. Digital. I told you earlier, I seriously thought about repeating preschool. I still do not understand television. Inches of it. And there's just this little cord plugged into the wall. I don't understand how people can do what they do with their telephones nowadays. people on little screens, standing at a bus stop. And everybody's doing it at a bus stop in the morning when I get up and go by. Everybody, you know, it used to be they were all out there like this. Now they're all out there. I don't understand that. But that doesn't mean that I do not accept the reality of it and that it is true. And friends, please, when we talk about grieving the Holy Spirit of God, we must understand these are not out of control bursts of emotion. These are not out of control statements that, and he's up there having a fit. God has created us quite to the contrary of what we believe, that we are to be free of pain, free of suffering, free of trials. And some of you say, now, John, you're preaching another gospel. No, I'm not. There's coming a day in which the ultimate plan of God will reignite with our expectation, and we will begin to understand what God had in mind when He created Adam and Eve. That in the ages to come, Ephesians chapter 2 describes to every willing heart that will take it to heart, I will show forth the exceeding riches of my grace toward him in Christ who believed me. God is not a God of suffering. God is not a God of pain. I so appreciated the thoughts this morning deeply. I believe the Holy Spirit was taking our thoughts this morning to the reality of God stopping this suffering and stopping the pain of our rebellion. We were the ones who struck first. We struck the first blow. And it was an all or nothing blow. And God has been meticulously, systematically, from that time up until now and to the future, He has been putting together His answer in grace and in mercy. He is demonstrating to us in hope that this whole scenario that we are in right now will be eradicated once and for all. These aspects of the grieving of the Holy Spirit of God are connected directly to the future plan of God with respect to His people, i.e. you and me. And God is saying in the overall aspect of the work that He is doing by giving us the Holy Spirit and teaching us to identify the trademark of the Holy Spirit in our lives, He is allowing us in this journey between the time we got saved and the time we will exit this scene and enter eternal life, the purpose and work of God for allowing us to go through this journey right now. As it is often said, the first part of our journey is to share the gospel with other people. But the second part of our journey is to suit us, fit us, prepare us for the unimaginable deposit of God's blessings for all of eternity. As William MacDonald said, we are not fit right now to drink in the full orb beauty of God's love. We're going to have a tremendous transformation of our character and our being to be able to drink it in. We have not the capacity right now to know the intense blessing of God's good will towards us. If we think in terms of what it really means when we are called upon to consider, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, We must understand, and this is the value of the beauty of coming to Calvary, considering the cross. This is the fundamental reality of the beginning of our walk, and the blessing of our walk for all of eternity is that God has been able, by His infinite grace, to take rebels, enemies, and convert them to those who lovingly, willingly want Him to be lifted above everyone else, including ourselves. We are never so happy as when we get out of the way and He is seen preeminent above. Some of us say, well, I wish that process would hurry up. I do too. But this is part of the schooling process of the grace of God to teach us to reign for all of eternity. And what we experience now in the process of understanding this aspect of grieving the Holy Spirit of God is that it is not the person that God is angry at. It is the personal woe of God's people that is in view here. Sometimes we say to ourselves, and I have to just say it like it is, I think in terms of when somebody crosses the line and does something diabolical, or I am put out with a situation, my thought is this, is that I am not so much focused on the offense of the situation as much as the person. And God alone knows what it will be to help each of us come alongside of Himself and see that divine quality in which it isn't that God is wishing for the believer that when you get into sin, that you have that sin compounded by additional punishment. But we think that way sometimes. We think in terms of when a believer goes outside the fence line, we think, oh boy, Lord, just load it on them. And a deep understanding of the grieving of the Holy Spirit is that we do not need additional ill heaped upon us because the sin itself is the ill. And God expresses that in the sense that whenever He sees a child of God outside of the parameter of His blessing, He understands it better than any of us, that we are already in the ill of sin. And His mission is to not take the believing sinner's nose and ram them into judgment and just grind them down to zero and say, and let that be a lesson to you, as much as God says, I have created this individual, I have called this individual, and they are in the thing I hate the most. Now it is the divine love of God that will say, if that believer is continuing to think they will prosper in their way, God will systematically, and we have no way of knowing when He calls a bill or an account due. That is His prerogative. My prerogative doesn't always agree with God's prerogative. Have you ever noticed that to be true in your life? I'll confess, it's true in my life. To me, the cavalry should have showed up about 40 hours ago or 3 weeks ago. But God doesn't operate on the mentality of the cavalry. God operates on a wonderfully mysterious aspect of divine love for His creation, and His grief is that they are stuck in the ill of sin. And sin is the destruction in their life, and He wants them out of that destruction. And if necessary, He will move to whatever level He has to move to recover that sinning believer, even to the point He will graduate them home to heaven if necessary. Not because, wham! And believe you me, God is just. And whatever has happened, will not the God of all this earth do right? Will not the judge of all this earth do right? There is nothing that will be swept under the rugs, folks. But His anger, His contempt of sin, His being angry with the wicked every day for the believer was completely, eternally extinguished at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why someone who has been long away from Jesus Christ and is a believer and knows the Lord, although you say and I say that person couldn't possibly know Christ, when they repent and come home, are probably some of the deepest admirers of the grace of God. God's grieving is a holy passion for purity in our lives. Because He knows sin will bring ill to our walk. We begin now to understand the absolute fathomless depths and heights of God's love. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I'd like to close, and I will seal it off right now, with a commendation that is just a personal observation, but I hope it's a loving charge to this group of God's people. I believe the Holy Spirit of God is stirring you, dear saints, up. And I believe, and I'm going to cover this a little bit in the next hour, I believe it's a bubbling up from within. And I believe He is causing it. And it's obvious. And one of the things I've noticed yesterday and today is there is a tenderness to one another. And a kindness. There's a forgiving one another. An understanding. We have a great message. The message of God's forgiveness. And what a bond it is to lock arms together in a common mission of getting the crucial message of God's redeeming love to lost people. your happiness and your infectious spirit. Yes, I know, I can't see things that you may see, but you're willing by faith to move forward and say, let's do the right thing. I don't know where the weaknesses are. Only you would know them. But I see the evident mark of the Holy Spirit beginning to work, to generate this precious beauty of which I've always known of you as a care for one another. But that care is now boiling out into the community, and it's boiling back into this group, and it will be one of the hallmarks of God's presence among you, is a care and a camaraderie for one another. And this pleases the heart of God. Father, may I not be presumptuous in my words. I have no heart for that. These dear saints, your precious chosen jewel, your special treasure. Our Father, we pray that as we consider what it really is when we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, that we might understand the great love you have for us and the absolute work of keeping us pure and undefiled from the thing that would wreck our lives. That's a kind of love, Father, we have been looking for. And most here who have walked with you, they understand that. And so today we just exclaim with wonderment again, how can it be that I would be the object of his love? A love like that that will not stop. And for those of us who are just beginning to drink these things in, and we're almost afraid to let ourselves go to your love. Help us to be saturated in your eternal, righteous, holy love that is pure and that purifies. In Jesus' name we give you thanks. Amen.